We are beginning our new series called Embracing the Infinite. Can anyone tell me why it is that that is a weird series title? Right, it's rather paradoxical, right? The paradox is, what do we think of when we think of infinite or infinity? What does that word mean to you? Don't worry, we'll fix it if it's wrong by the end of the sermon. Forever, okay? Right, doesn't come to an end at all. So we're going to talk a little bit about math. I'm not super good at math. I did take a lot of math in school. But we're going to talk a little bit about math. Infinity is like, is infinity a real thing? Yes, okay. Infinity is actually a concept that does exist. When we think about math, we think about numbers. Sometimes if you're into algebra, there are letters mixed in there, and sometimes you get real and imaginary numbers. However, when we get to talking about infinity as it comes to math, we understand numbers, correct? We understand one. We even understand a million. And our country seems to understand trillions because we have trillions of dollars worth of debt. The thing about numbers is they keep going. And also, they keep going backwards, as we see as debt accumulates. You can have negative infinity, and you can have positive infinity. However, just because infinity is an actual thing, like we don't know what the largest number is, that doesn't mean that numbers don't exist. And it doesn't mean that we don't understand numbers. But we understand that we don't understand the end of numbers or the negative beginning of numbers. When we think about infinity, part of your brain probably hurts. Because you're just about there when you're almost understanding it. And then you have a question that comes up that doesn't make any sense. Infinity and infinite as a concept really does get right to that. Is that there is something about whatever object, number, or person you're talking about that you can understand. However, you will not ever get to the end of understanding that subject. When it comes to math, there are an infinite number of mathematical equations that we could come up with. There are infinite numbers. There are infinite number of sequences with numbers. However, we understand some things about numbers. Therefore, we understand some things about something that is infinite. But grasping it, embracing it, seems paradoxical because it's something that we almost get our hands on and then we slip out of control. We lose it. We're titling this series Embracing the Infinite for that very purpose, that God, who is infinite, is someone that we can begin to understand and understand a lot. Every moment of your life, you are capable of understanding more and more about God, and yet there will never come an end where you completely understand God. But that doesn't stop you from embracing Him. That doesn't stop you from believing in Him. It doesn't stop you from having faith that what He has revealed to you that you can grasp and understand is true. So today we're beginning this series of seven truth statements about God that we do know that we can hold on to no matter how shaky our lives get. So for today, our first one is rather simple. The first one is, God is. Now let's think about that. When I say God is, you think there should be something that follows, right? Ending a statement with a state of being verb is very odd. I could say, you are, he is, they are. And unless you're a philosopher, you're expecting me to say something afterwards. But the fact that God is three different aspects of God's character. God is means that God exists. It means other things as well. But God is. Now, I can go into all sorts of different things, and you can find all of these arguments on the internet proving the existence of God. That's not what we're going to do today. I assume that since you're coming to church, that you read your Bible and that you are at least somewhat nice to me, that you probably believe that God exists. But for your influence candidates, for your neighbors, for family members, that might not be a given. And I don't think that it's necessary for me to go about proving God's existence as much as it is that I need to live that God is. Because I say that the Bible is where God has revealed himself. And the Bible just assumes God's existence. The very first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God. It doesn't say, in the beginning, let me prove to you who God is. Hold on, let's go back a step. It just assumes the existence of God. And then it tells us who God is all throughout the entire Bible about who God really is. When God was talking to Moses, trying to convince him to actually do what he was supposed to do and go back to Egypt and set the people free, Moses says, well, when I get there, and Pharaoh says, who sent you? Who am I supposed to say sent me? Like, give me a name, give me a cool title for God or whatever. And God says, all right, Moses, when he asks you, you say, I am who I am sent you. That sounds really weird. But God was laying the foundation for everything that the people of Israel would believe about Yahweh. And the first thing that they needed to believe was that God was real. So today, let us consider the statement, God is. First, God is infinite. That's the word that we were trying to get a hold of earlier. What does this mean, that God is infinite? God being infinite means two things. First, that God has no inherent limits. God's very nature doesn't have any bounds on it. Whatever God wants to be, God can be. Whatever God wants to do, God can do. Wherever God wants to be, he can be. God, as revealed to us in the Bible, is infinite. He has no limitations. The only limitations that he has are the limitations that he put on himself, which is that he doesn't go against who he is. Thereby, all limitations on God are God. So there are no inherent natural limitations of God. He can do, make, go anywhere that he wants. The God of the Bible, the God that we believe in, has no limits. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 155. Psalm 145. I exalt you, my God, the King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. I will honor your name forever and ever. Even in those two verses, you get the sense that God just continues to go. He does not have a limit of how long he will exist. Verse 3, it says, Yahweh is great and is highly praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Then over to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Our Lord is great, vast in power. His understanding is infinite. There is nothing that can limit God except God himself. just as infinity in math has no end and really no beginning to its ability to do equations with numbers, so it is with God, that there is no limits with his ability to do what he wants, to be where he wants. God knows no limits. Secondly, because God is infinite, it means that he is beyond our complete comprehension. That does not mean that we should just pack up shop, go home, because there's no hope that we will understand who God is. But as we pursue God, as we try and build a relationship with him, we need to come to grips with the fact that no matter how long we have a relationship with God, even if he lets us live as long as Methuselah, we will not completely understand God and how he works. And I think the best thing that he's done to show us that is given us the doctrine of the Trinity and just kind of left it at that. You think you're going to completely understand God? Okay, here you go. Three persons, one nature, one essence. What does that mean? Right? God, because of his infinite nature, is beyond our full comprehension. Which, guess what that means? It means that when people ask you questions and you can't get the answer, that's okay. Because there are things about God that we just simply cannot know. And the reason we cannot know them is because God has chosen not to tell us. God being infinite means that we have a limited understanding of a limitless God. Psalm 145 alluded to that. It says that his greatness is unsearchable. That doesn't mean you can't explore it. Doesn't mean that things can't be known about it, but it means that you can't ever know completely the way God operates. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are better than your ways. We'll never completely understand who God is. But what we can understand is that God is. And that he has no limitations. And he's beyond our full comprehension. And that should motivate us to continue to learn. There's no point in your life where you will stop being able to learn about God. Which is why we encourage reading your Bible. Why we encourage going to Bible studies. Why we encourage coming to church. Why we encourage talking about God. Because there will never come an end to the things that we can know and learn about God. We will continually be studying this infinite God. So first, God is infinite. And then second, this one seems very much alike, but it is slightly different, is that God is endless. God is endless. Here we're dealing with a couple things. First, is that God existed before anything existed. Which means that he doesn't need anything to exist. God, by himself, existed. Before time existed, God existed, which means that God therefore has no beginning and he has no end because time has no effect on him. Nothing has an effect on God because everything that exists came out of God's existence because God spoke it into existence. Genesis 1, as we mentioned before, says, in the beginning of our time, in the beginning of earth, God created. So he was there before the world was created. Ephesians 1 says, before the foundations of the world were laid, he chose you in Jesus, which means that also clarifies that Jesus is also infinite and endless. Then go ahead and turn to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. starting in verse 25. Long ago, you established the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. All of them will wear out like clothing. You will change them like a garment, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years will never end. Here, when we see the psalmists or other scripture writers say forever and ever, or for all of eternity, they are referring to the fact that God's existence started before anything else started, which means that it never started, and it will never end because nothing that exists has an effect on God's existence. And so God will continue forever and ever, and he has started forever and ever ago. Not only does God have no limits as far as his ability to do things, he also has no effect on him by the things that are made, even time and space. So first, God exists of his own will and has no needs whatsoever. God is endless. He doesn't need oxygen. He doesn't need atoms. He doesn't need the sun. He doesn't need anything to be. God simply is, no matter what else is or isn't. God is. He doesn't need anything. The cool thing is that because God exists of his own will, when he made humans, he breathed into us that same nature, the same soul that will go on forever. Although we had a beginning, we too, the person inside of us, will never end. God made us to be like him. And part of that is that we will live forever. And that will come into play in some of these other statements that we have about who we are. But the fact is that because God has no needs and decided to give us what he had, we also will have no end. He breathed into dirt and suddenly we came to life. Secondly, God is beyond time. His years will never end. He will continue to go on and on forever. Go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 1. We see this same statement made also in Isaiah 48, but in Revelation 1 verse 8 it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, the one who is, was, and who is coming, the Almighty." God is not bound by time. He is A, and he is Z. Time begins with him and ends with him. But he himself is not bound by time. God started our time, and he will end our time as we understand it and as we call it. But all things begin and end with God. God is not bound by time, he's not bound by space, and he's not bound by understanding of him. So God is infinite, which means he has no limitations and he's beyond our comprehension, and God is endless, which means that he gets to exist on his own, he has no needs, and that he's not bound by time either. Thirdly, God is constant. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. I'll give you a little bit of time to get there. It is the last prophet before the New Testament. Prophets are really hard to find. If you're anything like me, those are always challenging. Remember, if Micah or Malachi. So if you can find Malachi chapter 3. God has no limitations, not even time. He gets to exist because he exists, and he doesn't need anything else to exist in order to exist. And because God has no limitations, then the question becomes, if God can be whatever he wants to be and can do whatever he wants to do, how do I know that God stays the way that he has revealed himself thousands of years ago in this book that we lug around? Think about it. If you had no limitations, what would you do? We'd probably try out a whole bunch of different things, right? If you had no limitations and you couldn't die, we'd be doing all sorts of stuff. However, God is constant, which means first that he does not change. There are no changes with God. God is, and as Revelation says, the one who was and is coming. God has always been who he is. God is who he says he is, and God will always be forever who he is. God does not change. In Malachi 3, it tells us that. He is talking to the nation of Israel about why it is that they've been under so much punishment. In chapter 3, verse 6, he kind of lays out the line, like, this is the bottom line. This is why you are suffering this punishment, because you have not changed. But it says, verse 6, because I, Yahweh, have not changed. It says, because you haven't chosen to repent and live according to my way, I have no choice but to punish you. I do not change. This has always been my standard. It is my standard, and it will always be my standard. If you want to have a relationship with me, this is how it works. I don't change. We, however, change a lot. In the course of history of humanity, humans have changed a lot. And so seemingly God changes, but really God is just changing the way he works because the people he's working with have changed. But God's nature, his righteousness, his existence has never changed. It has always been constant because he has no changes. So God is. And whatever follows in this study, God was always, is currently, and always will be. God simply is who he says he is. He is also constant because, to be honest, he's beyond improvement. There is nothing that God needs to get better at. A lot of times when we think about changes, we think about training and trying to make tweaks to whether it's people who are racing and they need to find a different path on the track, or people who are shooting free throws that can't seem to hit it. We often talk about changes in certain areas so that they can improve. But God doesn't need to improve, so why would God ever change? God is constant because there's nothing that he needs to get better at. However, we have plenty of stuff we need to get better at, and so we will always be changing. And we should always be changing to be more like Jesus, who also never changes. But the Bible makes it pretty clear. You're changing always. You're either changing to be made into Jesus, or you're changing into what this world has degraded in denying the fact that God is. God is constant. Nothing can change God. Nothing can trick God or coerce God into doing something that he doesn't intend to do. God is. Go ahead and turn to Job. Job chapter 11. I think we all have a basic understanding of Job. Quick summary, there's this guy named Job, and he was a pretty good guy. Satan comes to God, and God says, hey, have you seen my servant Job, how righteous he is, a good guy? And Satan says, yeah, that's because you've given him all his stuff. So God says, fine, you can take all of his stuff, you can give him diseases or whatever, you just can't kill him. And Satan's like, well, good, because then when I do that, he'll curse you and start living however he wants. So Job's stuff gets all of his stuff is burned, taken, his kids are killed. And then he's got these couple of friends that are real lame friends, and they just kind of show up and sit down and don't talk for a week. Then when they do open their mouths, they start saying a whole bunch of weird stuff. Some of it, however, like this passage in Job chapter 11, isn't all that bad. If you read all of what this guy says, it seems to not fully understand God. But again, is that a big surprise when you're trying to embrace the infinite that he doesn't quite get it? But Job chapter 11, starting in verse 7, here's something good that this guy says. Can you fathom the depths of God or discover the limits of the Almighty? They're higher than the heavens. What can you do? Says the limits of God, if there are any, are beyond the sky, and you, Job, can't even get to the sky. So how are you going to discover the limits of the Almighty? It says, they're also deeper than Sheol. What can you know? God knows the land of the dead, is what he's saying, and you don't. So how are you going to completely comprehend this God? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. And then he goes on to say some stuff that doesn't add up too well to Job's situation. However, this man understands that the God that they are worshiping is beyond their complete comprehension. His nature has no limits. God will last forever and ever. And that God doesn't change. So if something changes in your life, you cannot go and point to God and say, well, God just started changing things because God decided he didn't want to be the same way anymore. God is always constant. Now, God can use a variety of different ways to accomplish his plans. Sometimes it seems like God has changed, and really is that there's something that you need to learn and change. Sometimes life is going good, and sometimes life is going bad, but that doesn't mean that God has changed, or that God is limited in your situation, or that God has disappeared. So, let's look at this next thing. Because God is these things, you are. This is where it really comes down to it. We understand that God is, that he has no limits. He can go on and on for however long can go. And that he won't change in any part of that time. However, what does that do for me? So first, because God is infinite, the fact that he made you to represent him means that you are valuable to him. The infinite, limitless God that is beyond our comprehension chose you to represent him, which means he cares very deeply about you. He breathed his life into you. And we will get to see him forever if we believe in what he has accomplished through his son. A lot of times when we think about the greatness of God and how big he is, we understand how small we are. But that smallness doesn't mean that it's worthless. The fact that you're small and God loves you and cares for you means that he has value on you. You matter, even though you're a speck of dust, because God made you. So although God is infinite, we cannot comprehend all of who he is. We can understand that he cares for us because he values us. Secondly, because he is endless and has given you his breath of life, you too are endless. Your soul, that inner part of who you are that you know inside you really are, that part of you continues to live after you die. The Bible teaches us that death is a separation of soul and body, and that's not natural. But when the soul and body get separated, that soul's got to go somewhere. Souls don't die. Continue forever and ever. Which means that if the choices you make now will impact your future, and your future is endless, we better be careful of the decisions that we're making now. Because if what the Bible teaches us, that you reap what you sow, and there's no end, it's not like, well, once I'm dead, suddenly I won't have any sort of impact from the decisions that I made when I was alive. We would take care of what we are doing now. And thirdly, because God is constant, you are secure. That what is true now will always be true. That God loves you will not change. That God's way of salvation worked will not change. That God can see you, hear you, and control everything does not change. You are secure that when God says that this is true, it has always been true, it is true, and it will always be true. Because of God's constant nature, we are secure. Which is why we can say that we know that God will save us, even though it hasn't been completed yet. Because God said, this is how salvation works. And since it has always been true, it is true, it will always be forever true, we are safe and secure because of the nature of who God is. As we look to learn more about who God is, we must remember that God is. There's nothing that we can do to change it. There's nothing we can do to end it. And there's nothing we can do to limit it. God simply is. And He is who He is, who He chose to be, and He will forever be who He is. To help us embrace that infinite nature of God, He gave us His Son, who chose to limit Himself to our type of existence. And you see Jesus saying a lot to the people around Him. It says, first He says, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew that, just like God saying, I am who I am sent to you, they understood that Jesus was saying, I'm God. And then Jesus teaches a lot using the I am statements, saying all sorts of different things to help us understand who God is, because Jesus is God. And so Jesus says, I'm the vine, I'm the bread of life, I am the resurrection and the life, I'm the gate by which you enter. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came to earth as a human so that we could begin to embrace the infiniteness of God by seeing Him in a way that He chose to reveal Himself. In closing, we are going to watch another video by David Bowden, as long as we can get it up and running. That question that begins to drive us to understand the very nature of who God is. That God simply is. He is without limit, He is without end, and He is forever constant. So before we do that, let's close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this day, and thank you that you exist so that we are not just talking to the air. Thank you that you do not know any limits, that you can do, be, and go wherever you want, and nothing we can do will change that. We pray that as we go away from learning this truth that God is, that we would begin to understand that we are valuable to you, that we also are without an end, that we need to make choices now because our future has no end. And that we are also secure in who you are and who you say you are and what you're going to do. We pray that we would live your existence this week, that people would begin to see you through us, that we would talk about you as though you actually are real, that you actually exist, that you actually have no limit, no end, and you never change. We ask this because you sent your Son so that we could begin to understand you. In Jesus' name, amen.